Hi, I'm Chris Bush, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 39 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. This week we're joined by Matt Hall.
Hello.
And David Cook.
Hello, nice of you to join us again, Matt.
Oh, here he is. Yeah, well, that was my first podcast I missed. Right. I don't know why you're piping up.
What we've got coming up on this week's episode?
Coming up on this week's episode, we discuss the amazing feedback we got from the last podcast we did.
Yeah, we're going to catch up with someone who's returned as well, if you want me to play on that one, Cookie, to the playing side of things recently, and that's Adam Mecky.
We review all the shot on Torquay games.
We're going to hear from Neil after both of those.
We catch up with Chris Bush on his time at the club so far, plus the challenge of Hartley Bowl.
Yes, indeed. We're going to chat about the community side of the club most recently.
We've got an update on the squad.
We do indeed, and we're going to cover the under-23s and academy as well.
And then obviously the hot topic this week, the talk about Neil's appearance on the Gaffer.
Sorry, you're... Oh, no, sorry, Neil.
And my appearance, yeah.
That's right, yeah. And we've got a question for you this week, which we'll share later on.
There you go.
That was everything.
That's everything.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, so obviously a big thank you to everybody who downloaded last week's episode. Obviously for those of you who haven't, please do, because Jerry Dolkey joined us on there, and it's about an hour and a half long. And it was, it was a really good conversation, really good trip down memory lane. And to be fair, we had quite a lot of really nice positive comments and feedback, which has been great.
We was at the obviously me and Jerry were at the tunnel area on Saturday at the match Torquay, and people were coming up to him just saying what a fantastic episode it was. It was good to obviously share the details he shared. It was phenomenal, and the response has been brilliant.
I was hoping he's going to probably join us on the episode this evening, but I'm sure he's popping, because he's left his phone there anyway. So. Okay, so first up, Matt, we've got an interview with Adam Mecky, is that right?
Yeah, it's always great to catch up with Adam. He's very articulate, he's a great speaker. And it's been a very difficult few months for him, actually. Obviously, as all of you will know, the injury he sustained in January, a really serious one. But we've said since the off, he's maintained a positive attitude. He's worked so, so hard to get back to full fitness. And I think the ovation he got both times he's come on at home in particular, and then starting his first game on Tuesday away to his old club, Aldershot, as well. It's been great.
I was there, obviously, when he'd done the injury on the pitch, and even in the dressing, sort of like the recovery room after, while we went for the ambulance, and it was heartbreaking. And then just to see him come back on that pitch for his first game back was
And obviously he made his first start at Aldershot. Obviously, you managed to catch up with him before the visit of Torquay United.
That's correct.
Adam, it's been a long and very tough few months for you, but you must be really pleased now to be back in the first team, back playing football and involved with it.
Yeah, I mean, just want to say, obviously, first of all, thank you to everyone that's helped me on the journey to get here, because it has been, you know, a roller coaster ride. Club have supported me 100%, the fans, the players, boys behind me. So yeah, as I said, it's really helped me get through some tough times. But yeah, to put my boots on, put my pads on, and sort of be in the fold and the mix of things, it's really sort of lifted me personally.
And an ovation when you came on against Charlton, and especially on Tuesday night against Ebbsfleet as well, when you came on as a substitute late on, a great experience.
Yeah, obviously been out for so long, and to have that reception, it just sort of gives you, you know, it gives you, it's one of those things I can't really put into words to describe it. Obviously, I don't wish the injury on anyone that you have, but if you go through something like that, you know, just to come out of it the other side, it is just a weight off your shoulders.
And when you came on against Charlton, I seem to remember your third touch, you actually nearly scored.
Yeah, it's it was nice to... to find myself in those positions again. The runs, you know, we link up really well. We've got a great squad here at the moment. The new additions have come in and slotted in really well and really, really offer the team something, you know, that we've not had over the past few seasons. So I'm personally really excited about this season. I think this is, if ever there's a season to achieve anything, I think this is the season.
Great to hear from Adam Mecky there. Matt?
What a humble man he is, and I'm so pleased for him. He really has deserved this, and he's done really well since he's come back as well. He doesn't look rusty. Obviously the fitness is one thing, but he doesn't look at all rusty, and yeah, let's hope that he just continues to get more minutes under his belt and have the impact on the team that we all know he can have.
So obviously, talking about that on the football front, two games since our last podcast. Obviously the visit of Torquay United on Saturday to Hayes Lane was followed by the game at Aldershot on Tuesday night. Cookie, I think we're going to start with the visit of Torquay.
Well, game had everything, didn't it? Yeah, it had goals.
Bad weather.
Yeah, bad weather, euphoria.
No Jeff.
Ecstasy. No Jeff. Everything.
I was in the Isle of Wight.
Disappointment.
For your brother's wedding.
That's kind of him to arrange it on a...
Just want to make a point. My brother didn't turn up to Wembley because his partner's friend had a wedding or something, which is a bit of a get out. And then he goes and organises his wedding on a Saturday. Anyway.
Jeff's just laying it on the line there. But yeah, Aldershot, wow. Yeah, had everything, didn't Torquay. It? And Torquay, yeah, I think Aldershot.
You had the same weather. It was like 65-mile-an-hour winds in Isle of Wight.
Honestly, came back with a cold.
You was kicking the ball, or Cousins was kicking the ball, when it was up in the air and going back.
Yeah, it was.
That's where he kicked it at some parts. Bromley started fantastic, though.
Yeah, I think
1-0.
It was very strange. Both teams seemed to play better against the flow of the wind, which is really strange. But like you say, going 1-0 up, in the first minute, wasn't it?
It was the first minute, yeah.
And obviously Jack Holland with his first goal in of the season, and then he'd get another one, as we're going to discuss.
I think
on the Tuesday
when we went 2-0 up, I thought pretty much we was going to run away with it. If I'm honest, in a way,
2-0 went 1-0, didn't it? They scored to make it 1-0, and then we went 2-1 up just before half time.
Apologies.
He loves to correct you.
So I'm going to hand over to you, Matt, because obviously I can't remember what happened during the game. I'm running around doing stuff. Yeah, yeah. I don't get to see the home
obviously
games.
Obviously, I wasn't there, but I've seen obviously the video footage, and obviously Frankie Raymond's goal from the corners for. Fantastic, and obviously,
yeah,
I'll give you an insight into how strong that wind was.
It was put down as the one of the Vanarama goals of the week, wasn't it?
As was Billy Bingham's screamer against Ebbsfleet as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I felt a bit sorry for the goalkeeper on that one. I think his manager afterwards, Gary Johnson, I spoke to him. He was criticising the goalkeeper. I don't think he's getting anywhere near that, no matter who it is. It was obviously assisted by the wind, but it was a great delivery as it was. So obviously, we went in, as we were talking about, to half time 2-1 up. Long story short, they went 3-2 up to. Avoidable goals, I think we should say, for Torquay, and then Bromley literally a minute later getting the equaliser, as we just said, through Frankie Raymond, and that's how it ended. So a score draw on our second home game of the season.
Matt, I know we were going to obviously hear from Neil. I'm sure most fans have already heard the interview. I think you guys have summarised it pretty well, so we'll stick to the positives.
Well,
obviously,
I messed up the score.
So obviously we then rolled on to Aldershot Town on Tuesday night. Never an easy game over there. I don't think we've seen ourselves win there before.
We haven't beaten Aldershot
before Tuesday.
In the league, full stop. Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, but my understanding was that we hadn't beaten Aldershot in the league, full stop, ever.
Wow.
So that is a first.
Sure, someone will correct you if you're wrong.
Yeah, whether or not
1920.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting ready for that. Yeah. But definitely the first win at that stadium. That's for sure. And I'm pretty sure it's the first time we've beaten them.
The amount of years we've gone there, and I think
I don't know. I always remember fans talking about going to Aldershot back in the day and proper rivalry, but it was a very hostile environment and everything like that. Can't believe it. Maybe it's our only win. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, I don't think we played
that
much.
I thought I heard Steve McCartney and Mash talking about that before the game as well. They were trying to reminisce and try and work out.
I'm sure Mash is listening, so maybe Mash can correct us if we're wrong.
They spent years in league football, didn't they, Colin?
Nevertheless, a warm enough welcome for the staff that were there. Media team in Aldershot, big thank you to them. They made us feel very welcome.
Yeah.
The fans, however...
Not so much.
Not so much.
And we were literally right next to them, weren't we? The bloke was looking over my shoulder.
So it's sort of... The moment we scored, they just decided that it was a match official's fault, really. Well, the fans around us seemed to, anyway. But very hostile atmosphere. But we'll talk about the game first, Matt. I'm trying to remember. It was rather scrappy.
I think overall, the first half we were slightly on top. We went 1-0 up, obviously, and could have gone 2-0 up. Adam Mekki with a great chance in the box to score his first goal on his return to Aldershot, the side he used to play for. Unfortunately, didn't score. They had a few chances as well, to be fair. And Aldershot are a lot better than the side of last season. That's for certain. They were much more threatening. It was a topsy turvy game. I think second half we were very defensive, and it worked.
We made all three. Spurs made all three.
Less than 20 minutes in,
65-minute mark. I think it was just before that,
which is obviously a risky move. But Smudge knew what he was doing.
Good to see Mark Anthony come on.
He did really well, actually. Yeah, he came on and did really well. The defence as a unit was fantastic, Jeff. I'm sure you'll agree.
100%. Yeah, I think. It was for me, it felt like not a nasty win, but I've seen us be like Aldershot in that situation and get bullied, beaten up, and bite and rise to every single sort of.
We had it 2-3 years ago. We was 1-0 up, and then they scored the goal in the
95th minute. Yeah, you're right.
We've always gone there and done bad. You're right, Jeff.
No, but I just mean the manner of the victory. We were. People talk about professionalism and all of that. We did a job on them. It was nice to see that.
It wasn't a pretty game, was it?
I mean, the dugout thing got a bit stupid, but that was led by the Dagenham goalkeeping coach. Aldershot goalkeeping coach. That was all silly, just complete nonsense. But we played to the game. We managed. Like, I know we were under the cosh. Cousins made two great saves. Other than that, I'm not quite sure.
No, he wasn't what tested he had after to do. That. Yeah,
you know, we had our chances as well. And if you go back to the first half, Mekki could have made it two.
Yeah, Billy Bingham with a shot as well in the first few minutes.
But we had this I don't know, nasty, dirty side to us that being in this league, however long it's been now, so many sides have done it to us before, and we've been a side who come out losing 1-0. We feel we've been outdone by the referees against us, they're getting everything, and they're diving, they're doing all of this. And for us to be on the reverse of that was so satisfying on Tuesday.
Determination, which is something we're seeing from this squad week in, week out, and just
it was watching. Hearing the fans bite and rise at every was brilliant, and there was a moment in the second half, and I was a throat, but I don't want to go into too much detail. But yeah, it was almost funny as well towards the end.
We did
nerve-wracking as always. Yeah. I think I think on the commentary, we must have made it sound like it was the Alamo after about 10 minutes of the second half because we were literally. But you were up and down in your seat because you can't see from the press box.
No.
Because they've got terracing all around you. The fans are literally standing in your way. But like you say, Matt, great 3 points. And I think, Matt, you managed to catch up with Neil after the game.
Neil, I think it's fair to say tonight you saw your team grind one out.
Yeah, no, exactly. We knew it was going to be a difficult game. We'd obviously seen them play against a strong Solihull side, and they were very resolute, they were very good going forward, so we knew we were going to have to defend, and you know, it took a set play for us to get the goal, but I thought, you know, especially first half, I thought we just edged it. Second half, obviously at the back foot and, you know, defending with our lives, but I just saw a team that weren't going to give up, and you know, that's a massive quality in a bunch of players.
And another clean sheet as well. It must be delighted with that.
Absolutely. You know, we let three in on Saturday that we were disappointed with in the conditions and the referee and everything else. So to come back with a clean sheet, I thought Mark was unbelievable tonight. He really earned his stripes. He's commanding in the box. He's getting it organised in front of him. And when he's called upon, you know, he produces like that. So really pleased for him because he's, you know, since he's come in, he's been brilliant.
And Rico Hackett-Fairchild and Corey Henry missing from the starting 11 and bench tonight. Any update on those two?
Yeah, they should both be okay for Saturday. I just didn't want to chance anything. You know, I've got a squad. Adam Mekki, obviously, he's declared himself fit, and I thought he was outstanding first half, but just lost the legs a little bit, which he will do, and we'll get him fitter. And Corey the same. I thought, you know, we're going to need every one of these players coming up for the last next three games, especially getting Saturday out of the way and then the bank holiday weekend. So, you know, I will call upon every one of those players, and like you've just seen, anyone I call upon will give everything they've got.
And another player on top of Adam Mecca you've just mentioned, who came on, Mark Anthony, and it was bats to the wall at the end, but he made a difference.
He was outstanding, Mark. He's trained like he wants to be in the team. I've got competition for places, and he proved it out there today. You know, he was everywhere when he came on, winning the headers, winning the tackles, clearing his line, and was just immense for us. And you know, at the moment, Jack and Bushy are holding those places, but Mark's knocking on the door, so it keeps everyone on their toes, and that's what I need at this place. You know, we want everybody competing for their place.
And still unbeaten, and you look to continue that run away to Hartlepool on Saturday.
Yeah, no, it's a great feeling, but you know, not having lost, but Hartlepool will be another kettle of fish, and it'll be a tough game. You know, the boys will have tomorrow off. Come Thursday and Friday, we'll be fully focused on Hartlepool, making sure that we put a shift in like we did today.
Well, Neil, catch you then. Thank you.
Good to hear from Neil Smith there. Honest assessment, as always, of the fixture, Matt.
Yeah, Neil's always great to chat to after games, as you say. He's always very honest, pulls no punches, and he's very reflective over his own team's performance. So it's always refreshing to hear, and most of the time now, very positive.
Obviously, fantastic defensive display, not only from the back four, but the whole team. I thought the shape of the whole team when we were without the ball at the moment has been absolutely fantastic, and there's been some great shifts from all the boys in there.
Matt, and talking about the defence, you managed to catch up with Chris Bush this week.
Chris Bush, you've been here a few weeks, seem to be enjoying your football and enjoying yourself around the place as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's been, I settled in really well. The boys have been really good. We settled in very well. Pre-season was hard, but it got all the boys together, and we started off really well, and now we're looking forward to Saturday's game at Hartlepool.
And you've been starting all of the league matches so far, but there's competition for places at the back, isn't there, as well? It's great to have that strength.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's loads of...
That's what it calls for, by the way.
There's loads of competition. Oh my days. Loads of competition for places, which is healthy, and it keeps everyone on their toes, and it knows that whatever team gets put out on a Saturday or a Tuesday, it's going to be the best team. We're going for the win, and then whoever comes in off the bench, or even if you're not involved in the squad, which just shows how good the depth of the squad is. And Gaffer's recruited well, and the players from last year, and we've all bought into what we want to achieve this year, and that's the main goal.
And from the four matches so far in the league, two clean sheets, which you must be really pleased with.
Yeah, definitely. I think the foundation of any team should be clean sheets, and especially as a new back four, me and Kizzy come in with and Mark, as well as Jack and Woody and Mark as well. So it's been nice to get the two clean sheets, especially away from home, because there can always be tough ones, and hopefully we can bring that form back to home games and keep it going.
And you've obviously been partnering Jack at centre back predominantly. How have you found working with him?
It's been really good. It's been we both complement each other well. There's loads of communication between us. I just think we the balance that we've got, being myself being left and Jack being right, and Mark being able to play both, I think we've just got a real natural balance and partnerships that are going there, and just being able to play together when we communicate during the training sessions, just to make sure we fine tune everything. But I hope it's been replicated out on the pitch.
And finally, we travel to Hartlepool on Saturday, a long trip, and against a side who started off poorly but have picked up now.
Yeah, definitely. I think at this time of the year, everyone's really still trying to find their feet, and you can either get caught and you can have a game where they've not found their feet, and we step on the gas and we can win it. But I think Hartlepool will be a tough game Saturday. They've got good players, they've got a good team. It'll be one that we have to really go away and put in a good, strong away performance to hopefully come away with the 3 points.
Chris, great to join you. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Great interview, as always, Matt. Great to hear from Chris Bush. Clearly enjoying his time here so far. Obviously, he refers to Hartlepool. I know we're going to talk a bit more about that shortly. But, Matt, you're going to give us a quick update on the community scheme in the under-23s development?
Yeah, that's right. So, obviously, community-wise, we've got our summer soccer camp at the moment, which is going really, really well. It's great to have our own Bromley Football Club coaches leading this. And the feedback from parents and the kids themselves has been really, really good. Everyone's having a great time. We're running it throughout the summer. It's £17 a day. It's 9 till 3. That's 6 hours of football. It's great value for money. We do a weekly booking discount as well. There's still 2 weeks to go. So if you've got a child between the ages of 4 and 13, feel free to get them involved.
£17 a day, Matt. We always say it's cheaper than childcare.
It's a lot cheaper than childcare. It's like 1 hour of childcare.
Get your kids for the summer.
Keep them doing something that's going
to
keep them active, healthy, fit, and making friends. So, and a safe environment with great coaches. What more could you ask for? On the under 23 side of things, we do have an under 23s friendly here at Hayes Lane this Friday, the 16th of August. It's a 7:30 kickoff, and admission is absolutely free. So 7:30.
Marquee bars open. Pizza at.
Yeah,
burger and chips, a beer, lovely.
And yeah, it's always great to see some of the younger players in action who've come through the academy, and obviously others as well who might be looking to get into break into the first team. So exciting times with regards to the under 23s.
Fantastic. Moving back to the first team, obviously we face a lovely trip up to Hartlepool on Saturday. Yeah, it's gonna be a another tough test. This is gonna be my first time. I didn't make the trip last year. I missed the goal of
it
the
was
season.
Me and you, Cookie, wasn't it?
It was. In the first year, I was solo. I love it up there. It's a brilliant ground. It is when you're on the press area.
You can see the
an
coast,
amazing
can't you?
View. You can see there's an old warship. You can see the sea. Oh, it's lovely.
It's beautiful, isn't it? And it was a beautiful game as well last year, obviously, with three fantastic goals, let's be fair, to Hartlepool as well, and a great win for Bromley.
That's it. And then, obviously, the year before, we lost 2-1. So we've won one and lost one there, and just excited to get back going
on
again.
The stat front, no doubt Matt's going to fill us in with all the info.
I am indeed. So Hartlepool have had a slightly indifferent start to the season, but they have picked up in their last two games. They lost their first game of the season 3-1 at home to Sutton. Since then, they've managed a draw and a win against who was the team they beat. They beat Maidenhead away.
Who says it's unscripted?
And they actually were 2-0 up against AFC Fylde on Tuesday at home and ended up drawing 2-2. And obviously Fylde, a side that started really strongly and a tip to finish top, if not second.
It was 2 goals in 2 minutes as well, 80th and 82nd minute.
Gut-wrenching for them. So we go there, obviously, on a confident, in a confident mood, I should say, I think, given that we're unbeaten, but it'll definitely be a tough challenge and it's a long way to go.
Cookie, you're not there, but you love talking about journeys. How are we going to get there?
Well, Jeff.
how long have you got?
We're going to get a taxi from Bromley to London. No, it's going to be a train, King's Cross, Virgin, East Coast. They're going to take...
LNER now, apparently.
LNER, and a sorry, rebrand. Apologies, that's it. Same trains, same everything. It's just a different logo. It's going to take us up to Darlington, where from Darlington the team will get a coach.
Marvellous. Same route as last year?
Same route.
Fantastic. Now, we usually ask the opposition for preview of the fixture, maybe a fan, maybe the media guy, to give us a bit of a lowdown on the home team. But Matt, I think we managed to excel ourselves this week.
We have. We were nice and organised. And to be fair to Mark Simpson at Hartlepool, he's been really, really helpful. He actually interviewed Mark Maguire, the Hartlepool chief executive for us. And here's what he had to say.
So Mark Maguire, Chief Executive of Hartlepool United, how pleased have you been with the start of the season so far?
I think we got underway with a massive amount of optimism, having had a brilliant time with season ticket sales exceeding all expectations, with the recruitment having gone well, and obviously to then lose the first couple of games was a little bit frustrating. But then to bounce back with a win and a good draw against Fylde last evening is restores our faith a little bit, and I think we all feel like we've done the right things and we're in the right place, and we're all nice and calm and relaxed about what's to come.
In terms of looking to improve, and Craig Ignis says the squad will improve, what areas do you think we need to get better in?
I think Craig's would first say been a little bit unlucky with a couple of injuries to players in a similar position, so the creative players, and they'll certainly improve us when they come back. But I think sometimes we thought we need to be a bit cuter at times in the way we've approached games. So we've played lots of good football, but it's that sort of cutting edge, and we showed a bit more of that against Fylde and at Maidenhead. So hopefully that's on the way, and everything's going in the right direction.
Bromley the visitors here at the weekend, and from the outside it looks like they've really strengthened quite well. They've added a goal scorer in Michael Cheek as well during the summer, and they're unbeaten as well so far.
Yeah, they've recruited really well and shown lots of ambition with the players that they've brought in and the development of that club over the last 2 or 3 years. I've been down there 2 or 3 times and seen how they've developed the stadium, how they've obviously they've got the pitch that they've put down there. And they're an ambitious club, and you can see that from their recruitment. And it's another one of those clubs that you historically maybe Hartlepool fans would scratch their heads about facing Bromley and finding it a tough encounter. But with the investment that's been there, the way they do things, which they do things properly on and off the pitch, then they'll be a really tough opponent on Saturday, and they're to be respected. So their expectations will be high this season, and it'll be a tough encounter, but we look forward to welcoming them here.
Big thank you to Hartlepool there for a lovely little feature. Really complimentary to the club, and no doubt we're looking forward to our visit tomorrow. Where are we going now, Matt?
We are going to talk about...
Squad update.
Yeah, a squad update. So obviously some of this news is slightly old, but we haven't had a podcast.
Planning to do it on the first podcast, but me and Jerry got carried away.
Yeah, well, it seems to have gone down well, so get carried away, knock yourself out. Michael Klass... Michael Klass... not bitter. No, I'm only joking. Michael Klass signed on loan from Southend United for a month. That was before the opening game of the season away to Chorley. He's impressed since he's come in. Not featured in the past two games, but played actually really well when he came on in against Chorley and Ebbsfleet. The other two bits of news: Billy Krask and Briggs Ogerman, as a lot of you have noticed, have gone to Glebe on dual registration, so they are available to come back immediately should we need them. Neil gave them FA Cup permission to play in the game against Holland and Blair, and they both started that FA Cup game, and Billy actually scored as Glebe won 3-1. So congratulations to both of them.
Fantastic.
And we look forward to seeing them back in a Bromley shirt soon.
And for those asking, Matt, what's the difference between a loan and dual registration?
Well, it's a lot easier to call someone back from a dual registration, and there's no specific time period that it's for. So we will see how they get on, and hopefully it helps them develop.
Okay, topic of the week really in the office has been obviously the gaffer. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Cook.
Well, what if you don't know what we're talking
gaffer?
About, you clearly haven't been on social media for the past week.
No, you go. Not on your social media.
No, not
media,
my social
anyway.
Media. At David Cook 11, by the way.
Shameless.
No, The Gaffer was a documentary that BT Sport done following Gareth wants a piece of the action. It was following four managers around the National League.
Yeah, before you start. Once you do watch the documentary, you realise Gareth appears in it more than anybody.
And they follow around the managers of Chesterfield, Harrogate, Eastleigh, Bromley, and there was one more, wasn't there?
Maidstone.
So it followed four managers around plus Neil Smith. Neil Smith come across fantastic.
Yeah, I must say. So Matt, the point of it was to give a sort of behind the manager look.
Yeah,
the person behind the title, is that
a day in the life of, but over several days, and it was brilliant. I think like everybody has said how well Neil come across. We had the school visit
on that subject. How brilliantly Neil came across. He does come across fantastically well, better than all of the rest. However, BT did choose. Probably a sort of minute segment to put out in order to promo the film being made. And if you were to just watch the minute rather than watch a whole documentary, you might think he's a bit of a nutcase.
You, after 5 minutes, thought you'd won it. You know what you went into? Casual mode. That I hate that saying. You get one, you'll score five. That, not having that second half. I won't have that second half. I'm not asking for all this Brazil football. I'm asking you to do the basics, and at the moment, you're not doing the basics. George, I want you to encourage now, not moan at everything, okay? I know you're frustrated, I'm frustrated, but you need to encourage more out there. Are you anywhere near what you did Tuesday?
No.
So now I've got to ask a f***ing question, why not? Why not? Is it because it's all the shot? Don't have to. Yes, you do. good teams, good players, don't pick and choose when they go up. And then we're chill out. And they are ruthless. That's why the best teams and the best players keep on getting better. Started off brilliant, yeah. Kill them. Don't take your foot off the gas. Put it down. Go and do it again and again and again and ruthless. Yes?
Yep.
Liven up then.
Brilliant, it's brilliant, honestly. That's the only, I mean, that's the only time in the whole thing where he even raises his voice or swears. But
went down well.
they took that moment, and it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Amazing insight. Sorry, Matt. So like I said, it involves five managers. Well, actually six, because you've got Hakan and John Steele. You have to watch it. But sorry, Matt. So the bits that involve Neil and then the club, etc. Yeah. You want to give us a run through?
What we did was, and can I just say, Ben, the producer, was absolutely fantastic. He really enjoyed his time here. He was full of praise for everybody at the club and the environment that he was in, which was really nice. We organised a school visit to St Mark's School on that day or during that week, where Neil and Sam Wood and Jack went in and we went down and answered questions from the kids, and it was a fantastic day, and it really, really showed that side to Neil as well. Another day that they filmed, we had Marjorie McClure, obviously the local special school here, doing some football practice and coming down to watch the first team, and again it just shows what a special person Neil is and how engaging he was with those kids and the players as well. It just transfers from him to the players, and you could see the looks on the kids' faces and just how much it made their day. It was heartwarming and a side that nobody gets to see on a daily basis, really.
And obviously, just obviously a lot of people managed to make an appearance in this documentary on our side. Chloe working hard in the exec club, Millie, Matt, yourself at St Mark's School, Gareth the Cat sitting in my chair, Cookie, we're going to come on. Cookie's got a whole cameo piece. me, my only appearance, I'm not saying I was the only one working this day when they were filming or whatever, but my only appearance is when the camera cuts to our notice board in the office and there's a photo of Gareth on the pitch. And next to it, there's a photo of me and Jerry having a beer at a Champions League game. That's literally my only appearance in it.
I think you was
not a bad thing because I've got a face for radio, but...
I think you was on holiday, Jeff.
Oh,
and
yeah. Brilliant. Cookie talking to me about that. Absolutely brilliant. But sorry, Cookie, so your appearance obviously is quite touchy, quite a little touching moment.
Yeah, so they obviously found out that Neil explained that he was running the marathon. This was obviously set in March time, and they said about
that's when they recorded it, March, wasn't it? Because the game, they feature one game for every club, and our game was all the shot. Yeah.
And Neil said about, sorry, Gareth's walking past Gareth, me again. Cheers, Gareth. They heard about the marathon, and they basically said, do we want to include it? And that was amazing. They allowed us to run the bids advertising St Catherine's Hospice. And they just said, spoke about it. And the words are true. Like, Neil generally come up as soon as my mum died and everything that happened and after it had settled. He come up to me and he said, do they have marathon places? Let's give back to them. At that point, I was looking for ideas and he come up with the idea.
It was amazing because they cut to yourself and... Because it basically follows Neil, doesn't it? They're following around Waitrose, they're following around the Daily Londis. Shop.
Yeah, Londis.
Londis, they're following everywhere.
Londis, that was great timing,
so it cuts to shot. Obviously, yourself and Neil were on the treadmill in Nuffield,
yeah,
which is brilliant. I knew you were in it, but I didn't expect it to be that.
Honestly, they filmed it for about 20 minutes and we was going at pace and they just kept asking loads of different questions. By the time they cut to me, I'm absolutely, I am struggling.
So it eventually premiered last night, didn't it?
Yes.
After the Liverpool-Chelsea Cup game, so it was Wednesday night. Where can people actually watch it?
They will be doing reruns, but we can obviously hopefully get them repeated times. They're going to do a repeat.
They're going to make it available on demand or something.
Yeah, it should be. Surely YouTube as well. Yeah. They'll put it on the BT Sport YouTube.
But perhaps. Yeah, words will never do it justice because it's genuinely a fantastic watch.
You've got to watch it.
The Harrogate manager comes across really well on it. The Hartlepool manager is actually on there, isn't he?
Ironically,
going on Saturday. And who else is on there?
John and Ben Strevens from Eastleigh.
And Eastleigh manager's on there as well. Yeah, it's a really, really good piece from BT Sport. And honestly, if they could just follow us for a season, it'd be mad. It'd be absolutely incredible. just in his cabin, let alone the dressing room.
Yeah, it'd be a documentary in itself.
So obviously, just to let people know, I am ready for my appearance on I'm a Celebrity.
Okay, moving on. Question of the week. We're back, Matt. It's the second episode.
We are. This was literally brainstormed. What?
Obviously, you already got the next 42 weeks of questions already prepared.
Yeah, of course.
Start now with this one.
So you mean we're not going to revert to the fans?
So this one is...
And this wasn't suggested on the commentary midweek.
Not at all.
This is a completely,
completely original
from ourselves.
That's right. Taking full credit for this, we are. It is, who is your signing of the summer so far? Now, I know it's only four games in, but we have had pre-season as well. Possibly not seen all of the players in action as much, but nevertheless, give us your play or your signing of the summer so far. I mean, I think I know who mine is just about, but shall we save it for next week?
No, yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. Just in case no one replies.
Yeah,
Cookie,
how can
supporters get in contact?
So you can email podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. You can get on Twitter and you can do it at @BromleyFC using the hashtag RavensWeekly.
Yeah.
What about sending a private message via Instagram at @BromleyFC?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, on Facebook. I'm sure we'll put a post up and people can comment on it as well. Right, is that it?
Well, yeah, Borehamwood tickets are available now, so if you haven't got yours already...
Gosh, sorry, yes, so we're off to Hartlepool Saturday, train. Massive shout-out to all the supporters making the journey up there. Not a cheap one for anybody involved. No doubt the players will show their appreciation on Saturday. And look, hopefully, if you get to see a goal like last year, we'll all be all right.
Absolutely.
All the ticket details for that are on the website. They're not actually available in advance this year, are they?
They're not. It's all on the gate. All the details are on our website.
And then following that, we are at home to Boreham Wood on Saturday the 24th of August. Kick off 3 p.m. Ravens Bar open nice and early, midday. For those of you who want to get down here early, tickets available on the website now, Matt. Reduced rates?
They are indeed, yeah. Obviously, the reduced rates you can get in advance up until 1 o'clock on the day. And that's the same for the away fans as well.
Fantastic. So we're a couple of weeks into the season and we've managed to record two podcasts. We're not doing too bad.
Boom.
Cookie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Matt, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
Big thank you to everybody who's listened and downloaded and put up with us. We're going to be live on Saturday.
We are indeed.
We're commentating from Saturday. It's going to be myself and Matt. Like we say, tickets on the website for Boreham Wood next Saturday. I think a lot of the local clubs, Palace are away, aren't they? Everything. It'd be great to, obviously, Boreham Wood, I imagine, won't have a massive following, but it'd be great to get another big crowd down at Hayes Lane. I still can't get over seeing that South Stand when we score.
Brilliant, isn't it? What a sight.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And a nice.
But yeah, tickets available on the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. We'll be live on air on Saturday from 2:50 p.m. for those of you not making the journey. That's it. Brilliant. Thanks again for listening. Just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.